God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 19. As near the end of our reading, we have Elijah who casts his cloak on Elisha. God told Elijah to have Elisha succeed him. And Elisha does two things. First of all, he sacrifices the oxen. And in doing so, he gives the meat to the people and then follows Elijah. Jesus also likewise calls us to follow him. And in our gospel reading, we have that note as Jesus asks some people to follow him. And some people invite themselves, but not everyone does follow him. You see, following Jesus isn't easy, but Jesus will help us. First of all, like Elisha, he did not look back. When the call came, Elisha said his goodbyes, sacrificed his oxen. Elisha really couldn't go back. He destroyed his way of making a living. In today's world, you could say Elisha did burn his bridges after he crossed them. The second thing that Elisha did was he followed Elijah. Even though at that time it seemed like most prophets were killed by the people, even though Elijah, right before this in our text, seemed to be suffering from depression, he felt that all had abandoned the faith, that he was the only one left, and he was even on the run for his own life. Still, Elisha followed. So let me ask, do you really want to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, the one who dies for sinners? The gospel reading for today notes that Jesus called many, but not everyone followed. Those who followed, like Elisha, need to follow without regrets. No looking back, even though the road ahead won't be easy. For Christians, let me just sort of put a little bit more flesh to that concept of what it means to look back. Looking back can be defined as leaving God's word, maybe drifting away, avoiding the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Maybe it's out-and-out rebellion against Jesus the Christ. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, Lot's wife, who was told not to look back, chose to look back as they were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah. She looked back, and scriptures remind us that she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, when Christians look back, when they flee from the precious promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, I will admit you're not going to turn to a pillar of salt. But that road that you're looking on leads to eternal death and damnation. So what happens when Christians like you and me are faced with a rough road of following Christ? What happens when we are faced with suffering and misery? Do we have that temptation to look back and to turn around? Or do we just hang on to the promises of God? We need to remember that when Christians suffer, and it's when we suffer, not if, that suffering is called a cross. We call it a cross not to confuse it with the cross of Jesus, that Jesus Christ actually suffered and died upon. But we call it a cross because Jesus did actually suffer. My hope and prayer is that we, of course, will never physically have to suffer and die on the cross as Jesus did. But in our Christian life, we will have pain. We will have misery. We will have sufferings as Jesus did. Martin Luther notes, a Christian, just because he is a Christian, is subjected to the dear cross, so that he must suffer at the hands of men and of the devil, who plagues and terrifies him with tribulation, persecution, poverty, illness, and inwardly in his heart with his poisonous darts. The cross is the Christian's sign and watchword in their holy, precious, noble, and blessed calling, which is taking them to heaven. To such a calling we must render full due and accept as good whatever it brings. doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But Jesus notes himself that we need to take up our cross and not let the events of pain and suffering tempt us to look back. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Basically, Jesus is calling us not only to follow him, but not to look back, not to turn around and to go back down the previous path, but like Elisha, to keep our hearts, our minds focused on the road ahead, the mission, what God gives to us. But yes, the road is going to be rocky, but Jesus does not leave us without any support or hope. The title of today's message comes from Elijah's word to Elisha. What have I done for you? So let's start with that phrase to see what God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has done for you to help you bear your crosses so that you will not look back, but like Elisha, following Elijah, and more importantly, following God to the road of eternal life. We have to start with the purpose. Very often in today's world, we have to remind people why they're doing things. Why, as Christians, we're doing the Christian thing, so to speak. It is because of our purpose. And so what is your purpose? What is your motivation? And we start with the cross. Not our own crosses. The cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in which he dies to appease God the Father's wrath because of our sin. Hence, Jesus, although sinless, bears the sin of the whole world, so that all who put their faith in the promises of God have eternal life. We have to remember that we deserve death because of our sins, but through Christ Jesus, we have life. Now, our sinful nature may sit there and say, "Yeah, Pastor, I've heard this over and over again. Can't we get a new message? Can't we get a more exciting message?" Our sinful nature is not satisfied with this. It wants more, but we have to ask ourselves, what more is there than life? The only other option is death. But our sinful human nature is strong, and so we may not be satisfied with the first thing that God does for us. Thinking eternal life and forgiveness of sins does not necessarily help me in the here and now, or does it? Our sinful nature may try to convince us in saying, "This is an old message we've heard for 2,000 years. What's going to help me with my problems, which are unique to me?" Again, the answer is, let's keep first things first, the cross of Jesus. Our sinful human nature may again rebel and say, "Wait a minute, don't we have an all-powerful God? A God who can take away our crosses? A God who can make my life really easy? Has God forgotten us? Has God been cruel to us? Because can't he take away all our pain and suffering?" God answers through St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparisons." So how can reminding ourselves of the cross of Jesus help you with your crosses, your pains, your sufferings here and now? Well, let me sort of answer that question with another question and then a quote from Martin Luther. How certain are you of the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that Christ has given you through Christ Jesus? Are you 100% certain, or is there some doubt? Martin Luther explains it this way: because he is not certain of eternal life and is not awaiting the blessed hope, he cannot be content and have patience. As soon as the wind changes and things do not go as he would like, he grows impatient and murmurs against God. You see, Martin Luther is trying to convey to us that if our certainty in the cross of Jesus is there, that helps create patience. That helps keep us focused on the right thing. It helps us to follow Christ and to blot out any other distractions, even the pain and misery in all of our lives. But if there is any doubt of what the death and resurrection of Christ has done for you, then when the winds of life come, we may be blown off course. You see, the certainty of understanding the promise of God, of the forgiveness and life eternal, focuses us past our own crosses to the cross of Jesus and gives us strength to continue and to follow Jesus so that we will not look back but continue to the quest of life. You see, God through Christ Jesus, not only does He die and give us forgiveness and life, but He also promises to strengthen us to bear our crosses. The psalmist says in Psalm 142, verse 1, "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord." We need to realize that, yes, God does call us to call upon Him in the time of trouble, as it says in Psalm 50:15. And He says, "I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Peter reminds us that we need to cast all our anxieties, whatever is bothering you, whatever is troubling you, upon Him, because He cares for you. And the words of Paul, when the road of our life is really rocky, when the winds seem to be blowing us off our feet, we need to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." God does not abandon you, but gives you strength. He is with you to encourage you. That is why He has given us His Word. As the psalmist says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." We need that Word of God to give us strength, to keep us focused. So like Elisha, we are able to forget the past of our sinfulness, forget the ways of the world, and to follow God, to keep our hearts and our minds focused. God also gives of Himself. When we come and receive the body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine, again for the strengthening of our faith, the forgiveness of our sins, and Jesus' own words in the verba, "Do this in remembrance of me." What is the body and blood, the bread and the wine, calling us to remember? His death, His resurrection, the cross of Jesus. Because it is in that cross we have life. It is in that cross we have forgiveness. It is in that cross we have restoration that God gives to us. So this day, like Elisha, we don't look back. Notice what Elisha did. He burned his oxen. And then, showing sort of that spirit of God, he gave the fruit of that sacrifice, the meat, instead of allowing it to rot, he gave it to the people in need. Because as Christians, God does call us to love one another as He has loved us. As we are refocused upon the cross of Jesus, we see how He demonstrates His love for us. He was willing to die for us. Are you willing to suffer a little bit of the rocks of life, to suffer the winds that may blow you over, to remain focused upon Jesus? As Paul says, the reason why we do this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, Elisha followed Elijah until Elijah was taken away. But Elisha made one request before Elijah was taken away, to receive a double portion of the Spirit. Elisha really knew that in order for him to continue, he needed God. So he asked for that double portion, and it was given to him. Through Christ Jesus, you also have received the Spirit. When you are baptized, that Spirit works that faith within you. You are not alone, but God Himself is with you. A Spirit that refocuses. A Spirit of strength. As Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, of self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." We need to hang on to these words of God. They are the promises of God. The promises to strengthen you. The promise of forgiveness. The promise of life eternal. The promise of life. This day we give great praise and thanks to God, knowing that we have a loving God who has done much for us. Picking up what God says in His Word, "What have I done for you? Much." So this day we give great praise and thanks to God for the prophets who have gone before us to communicate that Word to us, to the many pastors, to the community of believers as we share that Word among us, to strengthen us and to encourage us. Yes, we have a loving, caring God who strengthens us and encourages us each and every day. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.